Well, we're wrapping up our series, we've called it The Hope of Glory. We've been looking at this incredible truth that Paul has been trying to communicate to us, that the hope of glory is Christ in us. That there's some marvelous things that happened when Christ laid down his life and he was buried in the tomb and he rose from the dead. It wasn't just that he would just become a savior, but it was that he would empower us to be free from sin, that he'd empower us and he'd give us the ability to actually live a life that is holy and pleasing to God, and that we are totally acceptable in God's sight because of what he's done. And he says, I don't want to just dwell with you, but I want to take my spirit, and I want to place my spirit in you to give you that power and that authority to walk in this life. And you could say this series is really all about grace, and because grace is really amazing. If you really look at grace, and if you don't know what grace is, take time to study grace. Grace is us getting something that we don't deserve from God, and only God could provide it. Nobody else could do it. But a lot of us understand grace, and we think of grace as being, I had a moment in my life where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, where you believe. And that's part of the gospel message. And Paul, as he started this text in Colossians, if you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians. We're going to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Paul is like going, okay, yeah, that's part of it. The part of grace is that Christ gives us a new life. And part of grace is that we're saved, we're forgiven. But the other part of grace is this, and this is what's also powerful about grace, is it's enough to give us life. It's enough to sustain us. It's enough to carry us through. It's not just a savior, but it's God consuming us and God making us into what he wants us to become. And there's a danger if we only take part of the gospel message, because you end up with this type of a gospel, that it's grace, 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 and that's it. And it's all about Jesus being a savior. And you never experience his power and his authority in your life. And Jesus said, through my death and resurrection, I have placed that in you. I have given it to you. And you and I try to walk in this life if we just accept half the gospel and say, yeah, I believe him as Savior. Because I think all of us would believe that. We sing Amazing Grace, it saved a wretch like me. And we go, oh yeah, I was a wretch. We believe in that part, but do we really believe in the other part? That the gospel is more than just enough. It's life-giving, it's life-breathing, and we have the whole authority to live this different life. A lot of times the Christians that I see are going, I believe that God's my Savior, but there's no power in my life. It's empty. Well, hopefully this series is starting to awaken a truth in you, that you have the power of the living God in you, the Holy Spirit, to do what you can't do. Grace, God saved us. We couldn't do it. But to live a life that is pleasing to God, we can't do it either, but he gave us that strength. Those chains that you've been walking around with, the burdens, they're done away with once and for all in Christ. And so Paul has been focusing on this and just trying to get us to see the fullness of the gospel, not just a little glimpse of it over here, but the fullness of it. And then he kind of tells us that we need to clothe ourselves with different items because of this incredible thing that happened. And then he kind of makes this statement in chapter 2, and I want to focus on this statement. It's kind of a two-part statement, and I pray that these truths just rise up in us and we start living the truths just out in our lives. And it says, so then, and the so then is really a therefore in a lot of Bibles, depending on the version you have. What they're talking about is all the things that I've just talked about, all the things that Paul has been trying to teach us, all the things that come before that. So then, since Christ did all these things, this is how you should live. And then he says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. And I think we got to stop there because there's a lot of powerful things in that statement. It's really a question, isn't it, I think? And let me just ask you the question that Paul is asking. Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you received him, not just as Savior, but have you received him as Lord where you've surrendered your life, where you said, all of me is yours? Not that you just came to a moment where you were maybe 8, 7, 16, where you just had this moment, you had this crisis in your life, and you needed a Savior, you needed somebody to bail you out. But you took it further. Yeah, it's great to call him Savior and in that moment go to him. But there's something else that has to happen. It's a complete surrender of who you are to him, where he's the Lord now. Can you notice that Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, it's not just Savior, because Christ Jesus means Savior, but also Lord. Have you received him? Have you had a moment where you've just finally said, I believe in the work of Christ? I believe that Christ died for my sins. I believe that he was placed in the tomb and he rose from the grave. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I surrender all of my being to you, and I want your spirit to take up residence in me completely. So much so that I am in you and you are in me, and nobody can tell us apart. Have you got to the point where you just totally surrendered and said, I need you? But you notice he says it's this. It's receiving it. A lot of people want to earn grace. People want to earn salvation. They think they got, if they do the right things, they live a good life, they say the right prayers, they do the right Bible study, then they're there. No, it's how do you get inside Christ? And how does Christ get inside you? Simply by what? Grace through what? Big word, starts with an F. Faith. So have you had a moment where you've accepted the grace of God by faith? You might not understand it all. You might not know how it applies to your life, but have you had that moment? And because Paul says, now if you've had that moment, just as you received him, so then just as you received Christ as Lord, continued to live in him or walk in him. Paul's saying, just like you've received God through grace by faith, now you need to walk in him by grace through faith. You see, we've asked the question, how do I live a life that is glorifying to God? We've asked the question, what does it look like to live that kind of life? And we said, yeah, you put these clothes on, but here's something that's so simple and so profound about this passage. You receive grace, you receive salvation by faith. You walk in the new life by receiving through grace by faith. Isn't it so simple? God has made it so simple for us. He says, I know you can't live the Christian life. I know you can't measure up. I know you that those sins keep making you stumble. I know that you're struggling with this thing. I know this has happened in your life, but I want to do something for you. I want to give you salvation, and I want to give you the ability to live that out. And I want you to know that I am with you, I am in you. And all you have to do is say, I receive it. I receive these truths that we've been talking about, and these truths that we've been talking about are just incredible. Paul goes on, and he says, continue to live in him or walk in him. And notice all the in hymns and all these scriptures. Everything is in Christ. In him, in Christ. The only way that I have salvation, in Christ. The only way that I can live a Christian life that like we keep talking about is in Christ. And he says, in Christ, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul's saying the truths of God's word. We ground ourselves in those truths, and once we accept those truths and we receive them, our lives should be overflowing with thanks to him. It should be just an act of praise and worship. No matter what we're doing, whether it's by word or deed, we're praising and we're worshiping in all that we are. Because we go, oh, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what they've done. Not what I'm doing. And then he goes on, see that to it, that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. In other words, make sure that when you're basing your life in truths, that they're in God's word. And it's what God says about you. Yeah, the world may say you're not worthy. The world may say, yeah, you're just a sinner. The world may say that God doesn't love you. But those aren't truths. Well, because I don't feel a certain way. That's not a truth. Truths are based on what God has said, and you ground your life in that. And you say, no, this is what I believe. This is who I am in Christ. And you apply those things to your life, and that becomes your identity of who you are. If they're not based in Christ, then they're all a lie. And he says, don't do that. Don't base your faith. Don't base who you think you are on the world's views, and maybe some guy that's good at rationalizing things, or some high intellectual person. Because, God's wisdom confounds the wise. So his truths, and his truths only, should define us. And we stand in that. And then Paul takes it, and he goes, for in Christ, just in case you forgot who Christ is, All the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all together in Christ. He is God. And then he goes on. He says, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. Isn't that amazing? Can we read that again? You have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. He is the power and authority over everything in this created world, in the heavens and under the heavens. When he tells that, whatever it is, that they're bound on earth, they're bound on earth. When he says that you're free, you're free. And you have the same authority. You've been given that authority because you have been placed in Christ, and Christ has been placed in you. And Paul says, start walking in this truth. Well, I just don't know if I can overcome this sin. No, you can't. You can't. But he can. And it's you recognizing that truth and standing in that truth and saying, no more is that going to guide me. No more is that going to define me, but I'm releasing it to you, Jesus. And you're coming in and you're giving me the power and the authority. He's done it. And Paul's just like going, okay, do you get it? And you're going, well, I don't feel like it, Kelly. I don't feel like I'm loved by God. I don't feel like I'm worthy. I don't feel like I've been forgiven. Don't you remember me saying it's not about feelings? Feelings lead us to the wrong conclusion. Truths, the truths that are uttered from God's word, which is the Bible and his Holy Spirit, that when those things are uttered, those are truths. Those are things that aren't based on feelings. And so we have to base who we are in Christ. Not what I feel like. Otherwise, you're going to be led astray. Now, I have these incredible totes here. And I know some of you are like, oh, the totes again. Here we go. You know, I'm going to take these totes home today. And I'm going to be happy because this one is called sin. That's where all my fishing stuff belongs. And I want to take the sin off of it because fishing is not a sin. But, you know, at least not to me anyway. So I want to take that off. There's some incredible truths that I just want to remind you of because I want this to be burned into your mind so deeply that when somebody in the world says something about you, your boss says you're not worthy enough, you don't measure up, your spouse says I don't love you anymore, or I'm having a hard time loving you, or a child says you've been the worst parent in the world, or somebody says something to you that gets you in this funk, and you just don't feel like you're loved. I want you to bring these totes up, go to Myers and get some totes and pile them up and say, this is who you are. The Bible says this is us. Not a tote, but this is us, you. If you remember, it says that you and I had a problem. You and I were born into sin. And sin, if it makes it even worse, is inside of us. That's defined who we really are. Sin, and we were trapped in this. There's no way out. You can't break out of this. You can do all you want, all your good works, all your good deeds, all your good words. You can't get out of here. And there's nobody in here that can buy their way out. There's nobody that's in here that can say, hey, this friend of mine is a real good Christian, so maybe they could get me out. Nobody can do that. But God says there's a problem. I love my creation. I love you. I love every single one of you. And there's a problem. The stain of sin is death. The stain of sin is separation from God forever and ever. And he says, I don't want to leave you in here. So somewhere in creation, God and Jesus had a meeting. And they decided the only way to make this right and to bring life was for him, Jesus, to lay down his life as a sacrifice. And to purchase you out of this. And you, it wasn't you reaching out to God. It was God reaching in and God busting into sin and busting you out of sin. And that wasn't just enough. He said, now wait a minute. I want to bust your nature out of you, which you were sin. You were defined by it. I want to bust that out of you. And when that happened was when Christ died. It says you were buried in Christ. Spiritually, you're buried there. You died there. And when he rose from the grave, you rose from the grave. When you put your faith in him, that's what happens spiritually. You get a new birth. You become a new creation. And you get this new identity. And he says, so what I'm going to do, because I'm a God that wants to be with you, but I want to be in you, I'm going to take my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to place it in you. And this is now going to be your definition of you, Christ in you, not sin. That's who you are. Oh, but Kelly, I sin all the time. Yeah, you might sin all the time, but you don't have to. It's a choice. If you have placed your faith in Christ, it tells us that Christ is in you, and it tells us that you are also placed in Christ. You're in here, sealed up. I mean, just think about this for just a moment. Nothing can break into this anymore because God has done it. And he says, this is who you are. Sin is not the definition of you anymore. My spirit is. But Paul said there's something that you and I got to do because there's something about faith. Grace, and you're saved through grace by faith. But what is faith? It's an action. It's a step, something you got to do. So Paul says, well, you got to do something. You got to start standing in these incredible truths. And he said, you need to start to clothe yourself. And he said, you got to clothe yourself. And remember last week we talked about this? He said, you need to clothe yourself that you are beloved. You are loved by God. God in creation saw you and he says, I love you. I want them. I want to give up my son. And you say, well, I don't feel love because if you look at my life, you look at what I'm going through right now, I can't see God, I can't find God, I can't feel God. It's not about a feeling. It's about what the truth that God said about you. You are beloved. He says, look at the cross. You don't believe you're loved? Just ponder the cross. Just see Christ. Before he got to the cross, he was beaten to the point where he was almost beyond recognition for you. And the nails that went through his feet, the nails through his hands were for you. God says, look at the cross. Do you see the pain that he's in? Do you see the suffering? He's taking your suffering on. The death that he's getting ready to die, he is dying your death. How can you say I don't love you? Is there any other greater act that you've ever witnessed of somebody loving you like that? Absolutely not. He says, I love you. And then Paul says, now you got to put this on. Righteousness. He says that sin left its crimson stain. But what did Christ's blood do? It washed us pure as snow. Completely sinless. We're holy before God. You're saying, no, Kelly, I am not holy. I am not righteous. I still sin. I still do these things. And yeah. That's you. That's not Christ in you. And that's not you in Christ. I'm tired of Christians saying this, and it's getting pretty old for me, is we keep saying this. I'm a sinner. If you are in Christ and you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are not a sinner anymore. You are a saint. You are a holy one of God. You are righteous. You are clean before God in Christ. That is you. I'm like, I don't feel like that. Not about what you feel. It's about the promises. It's about the truth that God says, Christ's work on the cross did this for you. He gave you this new creation. And then Paul says, put this one on too. Chosen. I'm chosen by God. He chose me. And what did we learn last week? Last week we learned the simple truth that before all of creation, before there was anything formed, God looked through creation and said, I choose you. Well, I don't feel chosen in this world. I'm always the last one to be chosen. And you know, at work, I don't get the job. I prayed to God that I'd get the job. He didn't give it to me. So I can't be chosen. No, it's not that type of chosen. I've chosen you above all things. I've chosen you first. And he says, and you're mine. So you are a headless, chosen, holy, beloved person, right? Well, Paul says, you are in Christ. And then it also tells us in Colossians that Christ is in God. And we're sealed completely there for all eternity. It says that There's an incredible mystery that happened. Once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been transferred from the dominion of darkness, which is sin. Sin is a dominion that is filled with brokenness, with worthlessness, with no hope, with death. But he's transferred us out of this kingdom into the kingdom of his beloved son, and this is where we are. And while we are in here, and we are in here once you accept by faith, but you have to step out in faith and believe it and receive it, you are put into here, you are sealed into here, and while you are in here, you have the whole authority of Christ in you, around you. You're telling me you can't defeat sin? No, you can't defeat sin, but he's defeated it, so you're free. Here, where you rest, you and I, that's forever. With the complete authority of Jesus Christ on our side. To give us salvation, but not just salvation, but to empower us to walk a life that is holy and pleasing to God. So Paul says, this is who you are. So next time you go to Myers and you see all the totes, go, hey, this is who I am. Because I think it's so powerful when we start realizing the fullness of the gospel. Paul says, I want you to understand the fullness of it. God did something so incredible. And when you start saying, I don't feel loved, when you start saying, I'm not worthy, he says, stop it. That's not who you are. You are loved. You are worthy. You are mine. You're not just worthy. You are my son or my daughter. And you are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus right now. That's who you are. Believe me, it's not easy. This week, I got preached at. My wife. I was feeling a little bit down. Feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Satan was deceiving me. He was taking my eyes off of what I know is truth, and I know it's truth. And I'm talking or texting my wife going, blah, 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 I feel like this, and blah, 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 I feel like this. And she goes, simply back a text, you're chosen, you're holy, you're loved. And I said, that's for other people. She typed back, hypocrite. Sometimes Satan can really get us off, can he? He can get our eyes focused on our old self. The self that we were told to put to death. And, you know, this August was my father's fourth anniversary of passing away from cancer. And many of you know that story. And I was thinking about some of the things about him. But one of the things that I kind of started to get my mind around and started to kind of get this visual picture is when we die, our needs change, don't they? You know, when my father died, you know, most of you know that the cancer was taking him down to kind of almost a skeleton. I mean, he couldn't fit into his clothes. I mean, everything was baggy. And after he passed away and he was buried, my mom and I had to do some very tough things. We had to go to his wardrobe. And we had to start sorting through his clothes. And some of the clothes, I have a couple shirts that I go fishing in because it reminds me of my dad. And she kept some items, but we had to say, okay, we need to get rid of these and give these things. He had some suit pants and suits, and you know, my uncles and some other people received some really nice clothes. But I started to think about this. You know, when we die, our wardrobe is really not a concern, is it? We're always concerned about a wardrobe. We're always concerned about these exterior things. But when we die, we only have one set of clothing. You ever think about that? You ever pick it out yet? Because they might put you in something purple with polka dots. But I started to think, that's exactly what God is trying to communicate. You've died. All those things that were in your wardrobe that you thought defined you, those you just got to take them off and get rid of them because that's not who you are. You've risen with me, and your wardrobe is a three-piece suit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You're clothed in glory. It's like, that's who we are. That's what Paul's been trying to get us to see for so long. It's just like, this is who you are. Do you see it? Paul says, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, and this is verse 6, continue to live in him or walk in him. And we kind of get to this point where you keep hearing me talk about grace, 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 God's grace, 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 grace. And we got to be careful. Because you might be tempted to think this: I can just relax in the recliner of the easy chair of grace. I just sit here and I do absolutely nothing because he's done it all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just going to wait till the end of time. I am just going to bask in this and do absolutely nothing. That's not true. But then there's another camp when I'm talking about this. They're like, Kelly, you keep talking about Jesus did this, God did this. What about our works? What about the Bible studies? What about the going to church? What about all this stuff? And you tend to think it's about works. It's not about works either. It's about the grace of God coming alive in you and you beginning to receive what he's done for you, and then you want to do something. You want to do good works for God. Because you start marveling in the fact that that is who you are, that is where you are. He has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into his beloved son and given you the title son, daughter of the living God. So then you start, instead of saying this, well, why do I go to church? I really don't feel like it. I go to church because I want to, because of what he's done. I open God's word and I start studying his word, not because I have to, not because it's the right Christian thing to do, it's because I want to. And I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of his truths because they're so amazing. Well, I don't feel like I can be used by God. I don't know, but I mean, my past, it's so bad. You don't know it, Kelly. It's not about you. It's about what he's done. He's took away all of that stuff. He's made you new. He's given you a new life. He's given you a new wardrobe. Rise up and start being used by him. So it is about works. You know that? It's about works, meaning I recognize that because of God's glory, I want to bring him glory. Whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it unto the Lord. Wherever you're at in life, he says, bring glory to God. It's our life. It's a living sacrifice to him, continually. But you have to receive the power to do that. You have to receive what he said in these truths. He's saying, well, I don't know if it's all about work. But look at Paul. Paul worked. He didn't rest. He didn't sit back and go, grace, 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 God's grace. It's so awesome. I'm doing nothing. He went out from town to town and got pummeled, beaten to death. And look what it says he did in verse 28 of chapter 1. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. He said, I went out, I proclaimed who Jesus Christ is, the fullness of the gospel. And I gave up everything and I did everything to make sure that people would understand that they have been chosen by God, that they have been transferred into his kingdom once they receive it by faith. And then they start walking in it and they receive that by grace, by faith too. And then he says, I want to present them perfect. And he says, this end I labor. And we don't like that labor, do we? I'm laboring, I'm struggling, he says, with all of his energy. Whose energy is providing Paul to do this? Jesus. Jesus is empowering Paul to go from village to village, to take beating after beating, to have the right messages, to have the right ministry for every town. He's saying, God, I don't have the energy, but Jesus is supplying it. And then he goes, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. It's working in him. And he says, verse 2, he says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that beautiful? Paul says, I'm laboring, I'm working in this life. I'm actively stepping out on what God is asking me to do. I can tell you, if you stand in the grace chair going, okay, God, do something in me, do something, help me do something for you, and you're just sitting here, nothing's going to happen. But it's the moment that you step out in faith, that God arrives and does the marvelous, incredible things in your life. Oh God, please just free me. The sin, I just can't get set free from it. You do nothing. You just sit there. You got to step out into the truth and accept them and receive them. And Paul says this is a laborious thing. And he says, and you have to keep this in mind, that it's always by grace, by faith. Remember this powerful verse in Ephesians chapter 8 and 9. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. In verse 9 it says, not by works so that no one can boast. Paul's saying that it's by grace, and grace is God doing it all. God doing what nobody else could do. And faith is you. Faith is you actively accepting what God has given you and becoming who he wants you to become. That's actively doing it. Because there's something about it that our faith activates God's grace. Because God's grace would be just a great promise if nobody acted on it, right? So what's in your life that you need to step out in? And you're saying, well, Kelly, you still haven't answered this question. How are we supposed to live this life? What does it look like? Well, I've asked Jerry to come up. And I want to kind of close with this illustration, because I think this is where a lot of us really are. And Paul's been trying to communicate this truth for a very, very long time. This is us. What's going around Jerry is chains, which is sin. How many of you sin? Liars. How many of you struggle with a sin that's a repeating sin? It just goes over and over, and you keep trying to break free from it. You keep trying to do what you can, but you just can't get set free. Nobody, huh? We don't have very many honest people in here, do we? How many of you struggle with gluttony? No, don't answer that one. How many of you struggle with being selfish? How many of you struggle with being a person that's not forgiving? Where you just hold on to the bitterness of people, and no matter what, you just hold on to it and you say, I am not going to forgive you. There is no way on earth I am going to let that go. How many of you struggle with gossip, lust, pornography, self-righteousness? How many struggle with sin? Every single one of us in this room. And this is us, isn't it? We're bound. We're enslaved and we are chained to it. Remember the guy, some of you that were here on Monday, that was a paralytic and he was on a mat? And Jesus kind of looked at him and told him, hey, your sins are forgiven. Everybody's freaking out going, wait, Jesus doesn't have that kind of authority. Jesus says, oh yeah, I do. But then Jesus says, okay, just so you know that I am the Son of the living God and I have all power and authority in heaven and under heaven, get up and walk. The man could have just sat there in the mat, right? He could have just sat there saying, this is who I am. I've never walked before, but he did something. He took the truth of Jesus when Jesus said, get up and walk. He stood up, took his mat, and walked away. See, Jesus says that I came into this world and lived a sinless life. I came to be a sacrifice. I came into this world and I died, and I went down to the depths of hell and I did something for you. I broke lust, I broke selfishness, I broke gluttony, I broke every single sin that you can list. And that's how easy it was for me, because I had the power and authority. I just went sniff, sniff, sniff. The power of darkness has no power on me. But the problem is, you and I are sitting here still. You and I have not been walking in the truth of what God has said about us. We haven't chose to receive what he's been saying. So we sat there helpless. But he says, Jerry, you've been set free. Get up. Get up. And then he says this. go sit down. Actually, he says, here's the path I want you to go on. I choose you. And you're going, this is my sin. Kelly, you don't understand how thick these ropes are. You don't understand what I've done. And Jesus says, I don't care. I choose you. Now I want you to walk this way. And you have to choose for yourself to get up. Get up off of the mat and start walking in Christ. That is the power of the gospel, the fullness of the power of the gospel. You're forgiven. You are placed in Him and seated in heavenly realms. You've been delivered from darkness. And you have the power and authority to live this life and to walk down the path, He says, for you to walk under His power and authority, free, forever. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before You, and I am just in awe of who You are. How You completely know us and how You completely knew what we needed. We didn't just need a new makeover. We didn't just need a Savior, but we needed You to give us the strength and the power and the authority to defeat sin, but also You continue to walk in this life. You've given us that power and authority. You knew we needed it. Thank You. Thank You for giving it to us. But God, now I would ask that You'd give us the courage to step out and get off of the mat and walk in the truth of who we are in You. God, use our lives for Your glory. Help us to go out and tell people about this incredible God and what He's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.